Black Flame of the Amazon, featuring Harold Lloyd, world-famous explorer in person. Today we find the party all together again. Mr. Noyce, Pedro, Jim and Jean Brady, and Donovan the pilot. The seaplane with a broken propeller blade is back in the big river. It was floated down to the sandbar where Mr. Noyce and Pedro hid their dugouts so that the necessary foods and equipment could be transferred from the cabin of the plane to the canoes. For the party must continue on upriver by canoe, and the useless aeroplane will be floated downriver to civilization for a new propeller. We now find Mr. Noyce and Pedro checking over the stores and Donovan unloading the cabin gear with Jim and Jean helping.
Well, so far so good. But we can't just sit back and enjoy things yet. We have much work to do and not a great deal of time to do it in either.
Gosh, Mr. Noyce, don't we deserve a vacation even for only a day?
We may deserve a day's vacation all right, but we can't afford it. You see, we are still in savage territory, and who knows? That village may have quieted down, got over the big scare they got from the fireworks, but...
You mean that they might gang up on us again?
A white man may be able to do a lot of things, Miss Jean, but he can never figure out an Indian's way of doing things. If these Indians will just believe that the fireworks were magic, then we're safe. But if by now they have had a chance to reason out that it was a trick we pulled on them, well...
I suppose they'll be madder than ever, want revenge or something.
Exactly. After all, we, in a matter of speaking... turned out to be a big, big disappointment to them. Their big ceremonial dance ended up in a dash for the safety of the jungle, and the anthill torture party promised by Grogan, well, it was a complete washout, too.
Ooh, I'll say it was. Boy, oh boy, I'll never forget that grand scramble, even if I lived to be an old, old lady. Gosh, if it hadn't been so dangerous, it would have been funny.
Say, dangerous or not dangerous, it was funny. Well, maybe I didn't laugh at the time. I was too scared. But if you folks should happen to hear me burst out laughing for no good reason at all, well, just don't think I've gone crazy. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm just remembering.
You mean remembering something to laugh at?
Yeah, sure, Jean. Remembering to laugh at something now that I didn't find time for earlier. See?
Clear as mud, Jimmy. Clear as mud.
All right, all right. But look now. Here's what I mean. Remember that time when the Roman candle started shooting red, white, and blew fireballs at the back of the witch doctor's neck?
Yes, I saw that. And he was so scared, he just didn't know what to do. He just stood there, all sort of dizzy. Then when he did move, he moved to the wrong place where more colored fireballs were popping.
Yeah, he ducked one and ran smack into another one. Then the big feather in his hairband caught fire.
Yes, I saw that too. I guess that poor witch doctor was beginning to think he was a Roman candle himself. In fact, if he had started spitting red, white, and blue fireballs, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah, and that big bunch of firecrackers, the one that jumped and hopped all over the place. You saw that?
And heard it, too. Gee whiz, that was scary, though.
Went off at just the right time, too.
It seems to me the old chief himself got the worst of that deal. He'll never forget firecrackers until the day he dies.
Say, did you see him when he tripped and fell?
Did I? And he was howling like a flock of monkeys. And just as he was getting up on his feet, the firecrackers landed right in his lap.
And before he could get rid of them, away they went again, popping all over the place.
Say, wait, there was one more firework. Wait, Pat Donovan.
Yes, Jimmy. What is it you'll be wanting?
Listen, Pat, weren't you supposed to shoot off that big floral bomb from down at the riverbank?
Sure, and I was supposed to, but mother of Moses, I never got the time. You know, I heard the shindig beginning up in the village. I saw the colored light rising up among the trees, and me, well, I was all set to light the big floral bomb, you know.
But why didn't you? It would have helped.
Well, sir, I was feeling in my pockets for matches when the first squad of wild Indians came yelling and whooping down the trail to the river. They were hot-footing it like wild men, stumbling, falling, and bumping into trees.
I'll bet they were in such a hurry to jump into the river and get across to the far side in safety that they ran right into everything.
Sure, and they did. Well, one of them was in such a big hurry, he dived before he even came to the water.
What do you mean, dived before he came to the water?
Well, sure now, ain't I just after telling you? He dived head first. I guess he misjudged the distance, thought he was at the water's edge, but he wasn't.
But what happened? Didn't he hurt himself?
Well, now, come to think of it, you know, Jimmy, it didn't seem to do him very much good at all. You know, it seemed like he landed smack on his face in the little bushes, got all mixed up in them, like a fly having an argument with a sheet of fly paper.
But all joking aside, I'll bet the most surprised man in the whole village was Mr. Grogan himself when you pulled the gun on him, Mr. Noyce.
Boy, I wish I could have seen that. I'll bet that was a sight for sore eyes. Wasn't it, Mr. Noyce?
Well, I'll admit it was a terrible shock to Mr. Grogan, all right.
I suppose he shut up like a clam.
Yes, you might put it that way. And then he started in to do a lot of whining.
Oh, he's good at that, both talking loud and crawfishing.
Most men of his caliber are that way. Errant cowards at heart, make lots of noise when they have things their own way, but start whining when things go wrong.
Oh, say, you should have heard him beg when I told him his Limey Scroggins was coming over, and that Limey was to get the automatic and stand guard.
Yes, it's a mighty bad thing when a man double-crosses his partner. A dangerous thing. But after all, both Scroggins and Grogan are double-crossers, crooks. Crookedness and double-crossing seem to go hand in hand.
Mr. Noyce, wouldn't you like to know what happened to them? Where did they go?
We may never know. It certainly came as a surprise to me to find their hut empty.
But you remember those revolver shots? I mean, they certainly sounded like the automatic we gave to Scroggins.
But don't forget, Mr. Noyce had already taken out the bullets and filled the gun with blank cartridges. Limey certainly didn't kill Grogan with blank cartridges.
Then why all the shooting?
Well, don't ask me. All I know is that there was plenty of it.
Oh, I imagine Limey just lost his head when the Indians got out of control. Perhaps a few warriors dashed into that hut, and Limey did the first thing he thought of, used the gun.
And you think then maybe the Indians that went into the hut, when they found out that the gun was harmless, they grabbed Grogan and Limey and hustled them away into the jungle?
Well, I sort of hope so. It'd be for the best.
Well, it sounds like you have some doubt, Mr. Noyce.
Frankly, I have. No use hiding my suspicions. Danger is danger, and it has to be faced squarely. Our propeller being smashed leads me to believe that Limey Scroggins or Grogan, maybe both, are still free.
You think it was one of them that threw something into the whirling propeller blades when we were taking off?
I'm afraid so. The Indians wouldn't have thought of stopping us that way. No, it looks like Grogan may have used that stunt as a last resort to prevent us from getting away too quickly.
But we'll never be sure, will we?
Not until we run into them again, and I think we will.
But why don't they come after us now? One of them has a rifle.
That must have been Grogan or Limey who did the shooting when Donovan started out of the cabin to take a look at the damaged prop.
But what's Grogan and Limey doing now?
I wish I knew. But take it from me, if those two are still loose in this jungle, well, we haven't seen the last of them yet. Grogan isn't going to give up so easily. Gold, that's what he wants.
You know, Mr. Noyce, when Grogan started talking about the Inca treasure, why, he sounded, well, you know, he talked like he was, well...
You mean he was loose in the head? Is that it, Jean?
Sure. He talked funny, wild, and loud.
Gold has warped many a brain, Jean. Plenty of men have lost their minds over gold just thinking about it, get to brooding about it, and finally become insane.
And I think that's what's happened to Grogan. He sometimes acts like he's a little touched.
Gosh, these jungles are bad enough, and plenty natural dangers without throwing in a dippy man for good measure. You know, Mr. Noyce, this trip before we left home sure looked good to me. I was all for it.
But you've changed your mind now, I believe.
Yes, Mr. Noyce, Jimmy has changed his mind, and so have I. Boy, oh boy, will I be glad when I'm out of this country.
All right, children, I'm mighty glad you brought up the subject. In fact, I've been wanting to mention this for some time now. Let me put it this way. The damaged seaplane here has to be fixed before it will ever fly again.
Yes, thanks to somebody who threw something into the blade.
Well, then, the ship is to be floated, be allowed to drift downstream to civilization. Why don't you two get aboard and make the trip back with Donovan?
You mean give up the search for Daddy? Oh, no, Mr. Noyce. We can't go back now. It's too late for that.
But after the ship has a new propeller, Donovan can fly the two of you back upriver. You can meet us somewhere up nearer the Colombian borderline.
But, Mr. Noyce, just drifting downriver to Tarquay or someplace like that, why, it'll take several weeks. And then we'd have to order a new propeller by steamer and wait some more weeks until it arrived. Gee whiz, anything can happen to Dad in that time.
Wait, Jimmy. Maybe we should think this over kind of carefully.
Say, don't tell me you're getting cold feet.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at it in a different way, that's all. Maybe Mr. Noyce here, well, maybe he doesn't want to be bothered with us.
Oh, now, Miss Jean, please. You know that isn't so. In fact, I prefer to have you two with me on this trip. But I'm thinking about your welfare, you see. About all the dangers ahead. For there will be plenty, rest assured of that.
I know, Mr. Noyce. But so far we've come through, and it's just swell, and thanks to you.
Thank yourself, Jimmy. Jean and you, well, you acquitted yourselves splendidly. In fact, helped wonderfully. Perhaps I might even go so far as to say our escape from that Indian village rested squarely on the shoulders of both of you. You two planned it and saw it through.
Well, then you're sure we won't be in the way if we go along with you the rest of the way?
Of course you won't be in my way. I mean that.
Swell, Mr. Noyce. And from now on, Jean and me will obey every command you give.
We? Where do you get that stuff from now on? Listen, Jimmy, I've obeyed every command so far. You're the one who went haywire on obeying.
Well, anyway, we'll say this much. If he did disobey me, it all turned out for the best. And now I might as well get Donovan started downriver. I'll pick two of my Indian canoemen to go with him, help him keep the ship in midstream.
Well, when do we leave for the Black Flame Country, Mr. Noyce?
We head for the Black Flame Country in the Inca Temple immediately.
And what lies ahead for this little band of explorers? What dangers and what surprises? Everything looks lovely right now, but how long before that villain Grogan appears on the scene again? What viciousness will he be up to next? As Jimmy says, the wild jungle is danger enough without throwing in a gold crazy man for good measure. But tune in again next time at this same hour.